Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Friday to you. Well, I've got some questions for you. Ready? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Do you feel like you are just buried and you can see no way out? Maybe you feel out of options. You just feel stuck. Well, what does that do for your soul? I know what it does to mine. It just shrivels up, and it's not good for our mental health, our emotional, physical, or spiritual health. I'm so excited to be talking to my friend Kathy Lipp today. She co-authored a book with her friend Sherry Gregory. It's an amazing book with a great cover. I love it. It's titled Overwhelmed: How to Quiet the Chaos and Restore Your Sanity. We will get her on in just a moment. And just to let you know, Harvest House has offered us 4 copies of Kathy's book. And so throughout the show, since we're not taking calls today, we'll do it by email. Do it a drawing. You know, we do this often. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie with an S at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And if you've got a question throughout the hour, you can include that as well. We'll draw 4 names and pray that exactly the right people get a copy of this book. I'm telling you, you'll get some practical tools about how to navigate through an overwhelming season. And I think you'll realize, too, that you're really not out of options. There's always an option. God will always make a way for you. We will get Kathy on here in just a moment. A couple quick announcements first. We are super excited about our upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. We really believe this will be the first of many. I also believe this is going to become one of the anchor Christian Writers Conferences in the nation. And I'll tell you why we did this. Over the last few years, we've done a writers contest, always overwhelmed by the response. We have so many aspiring authors in our listening audience that we dreamed behind the scenes, prayed for the right time, that we would take it to a next level and offer a conference. Well, that time has come. It's a one-day conference, Saturday, July 15th. I am telling you what, we are bringing in an A-list faculty of editors, agents, and experts in the field to answer your questions. Best-selling author Liz Curtis Higgs will be our keynote. We're going to have some amazing worship. We're talking about it now for a very distinct reason, because the first 350 of you to sign up are guaranteed a faculty one-on-one meeting with a faculty member. We're well over 230 already registrants, and it's still the winter. I'm just so excited about that. And we have capacity for 500. We're really, really excited about it. So if you want more information, I'm telling you, $150. There are conferences that cost much more than that, and then you add the travel and all of that in there. Invest in your dream. I'm challenging you to do that. You can find more information at NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. This is not to be confused with the contest. We're still having that this year. You'll find information on our website, My Faith Radio. If you are one of the top 6 winners of the contest, your registration is already paid for the conference. So don't waste another moment. Check out that information on our website, MyFaithRadio.com. So my guest today writes this. Hang with me. Here it is. When I feel as though I should be handling everything on my plate better than I am, I feel overwhelmed. When I feel as though I should know what to do, I feel overwhelmed. When I feel as though it should be easier to rely on God than it is, I feel overwhelmed. Whatever your constellation of overwhelmed, we all have one thing in common. Overwhelm turns us into someone we never wanted to be, someone God never created us to be. But something I've noticed over the past several years that worries me more than the feeling of being overwhelmed, it's how being overwhelmed seems to be accepted, as if God designed us to live stressed out, crazy-making, shame-filled lives, as if the God of the universe said, I'm going to require everything and equip you with nothing, as if God designed overwhelmed as our default. If you believe that's true, then this book is not for you. Let me introduce you to my guest. We'll get her on the show. Kathy Lipp is a national speaker and author of 17 books, including Clutter Free, The Get Yourself Organized Project, and the Publisher Weekly's best-selling title, The Husband Project. Kathy's a featured guest on TV and radio, has been named Focus on the Family's Best Of broadcast twice. She and her amazing husband, Roger, live in San Jose, California, and are the parents of four young adults. Dear Kathy, welcome back to the program.
Oh, Susie, it is any chance I get to talk to you, whether it's on the radio, in person, wherever it is, it's a good day.
Wow, thank you so much. I feel the same about you, dear Kathy. And I'm so, so excited about this book and excited for our listeners to learn about it. We love to start our conversations talking scripture. And because you are an overachiever, you came armed with your scripture. So I appreciate that so much. Psalm 90:12, love this. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Talk about that passage.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't necessarily call that my life verse, but I would say for the season I'm in, that is, and I think a lot of people look at that as a very kind of a downer verse, like teach us to number our days, you know, we don't know how long our lives are. But here's the thing, even in just a month, so much can happen in a month, and we can get to the end of the month and forget what God has done and just ask for the next portion. And when I really stop to reflect, one, what God has done in my life, and two, understanding that he is capable of so much more, that's where the heart of wisdom comes in for me. That I can take each day as it comes, see what God is doing, ask him for wisdom for that day, and grow in my knowledge of him. So that's why, you know, especially with the book Overwhelmed, that's why Psalm 90 verse 12 really resonates with me.
I love that passage. You know, it also speaks to is the gift that each day is. It's wise to recognize that life is a gift, and we don't know about tomorrow, but we have today. Yeah. And I think that's just pure wisdom to say, I think when we're overwhelmed, we borrow tomorrow's trouble on today's strength, and I think it's just wise to try to get out of the future and stay in the present where the grace is, you know?
Well, it's so true. And I think that we put off doing what God has put us here to do because we're busy, we're overwhelmed, we're crazed. And when we say, you know, tomorrow is not promised. You are absolutely correct. And what do I want to spend my days doing? Pursuing after the heart of God or pursuing after the world? And the world makes it so easy and so tantalizing and so available. And so it's up to me to say, you know, I need to be present with God and pursuing his heart.
Boy, that's so good. We also say there's hurt behind the mayhem, that we need to identify the hurt to help us understand why we are overwhelmed. I think that right there is going to be a light bulb moment for somebody, that behind the mayhem and the feeling of being overwhelmed, there's some kind of hurt that's driving them. Speak to that if you would.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think about my co-author, Sherry, who grew up in a very perfectionistic household. You know, I mean, we're talking white gloves and everything on Sundays. And, you know, it was just everything was done in a perfect and orderly way, which, you know, God loves order, but perfection is not achievable here on earth. And I know Sherry has carried that hurt and that overwhelm and the expectations for perfection into her adult life. And, you know, it's not that she's failing anybody else's expectations. It's that she was failing her own over and over and over again. And so that's a place of being overwhelmed. For me, you know, I grew up in a much more chaotic household, you know, catch as catch can. And I brought that instability, that not being sure of what was happening next into my adult life. And again, you know, that led me to overwhelm. So there are many paths to overwhelm, but there are very few paths out. And I feel like when we are accepting what has happened in our past, recognizing it, asking God to deal with it, and taking our own steps to deal with it, we can start to walk out of the overwhelm day by day.
So, so good. Say a word, if you would, about the assessment you included in your book.
Yes. So, you know, we know that different people have different types of overwhelm. And so we give a little test in here to say, what is it that really is overwhelming you? And once we find out the answers, we can say, we really believe, and we've got a chapter that goes with each of those answers. This is the thing that is really overwhelming you currently in life. You know, is it regret from the past? Is it, you know, really being kind of in a fantasy world that says if only you would try harder, you could overcome the overwhelm. So we have concrete answers to each one, because what overwhelms me, Sherry could do with her hands tied behind her back. And what overwhelms me, in the morning, you do as a part of your routine. And so we have to figure out what it is that is overwhelming each of us and give the antidote to that.
Boy, that is such a good point. Kathy, to take it even to another step is that that gives us grace for each other, because I often see that we will judge people based on our strengths and their weaknesses, as if, we all have our strengths and weaknesses, and we shift our weight onto that thing going, I don't know what your problem is, and that's never helpful. You know what I mean?
Right. Words like suck it up, buttercup,
come on now,
not help anybody in these situations. And here's the thing. If you are an orderly person, if that just comes naturally to you, then your house is not going to be a point of overwhelm, because everything's in its place, and that's just some of us are naturally built that way. But for me, overwhelm was the chaos going on inside of my house. And so if we all sat around and compared our overwhelm, we'd realize that most of us have some areas where we just excel, that God has naturally gifted us, and areas that we have to really day-to-day, minute by minute, rely on him.
Boy, one last thought about that before we move into some of these ways that we actually become overwhelmed. I think we can often project onto other people and speak into things. I don't know if you've ever had this, but I think when you're wired to manage a lot, people will project what your load would feel like to them, and then they're still not speaking life to you. Do you know what I'm saying? Where I've had that happen to me so many times, because what overwhelms me is different than what overwhelms you, where people will say, gosh, you must be this or you must feel this, and it'll kind of throw it on me, and I'm like, no, I'm really not that. I'm wired to do this. Over here, inbox, my email inbox, yep, that overwhelms me. But again, I think we can be so careful with our assessments when we understand we're all wired to carry things differently.
Oh, it's so true. And, we talk about this. Our capacity is so different. And here's the thing. If I wasn't doing what God had called me to do, that would overwhelm me. I would be overwhelmed with regret and frustration. And I am a high capacity person, as are you. I know you are. We talk about it in plates. Well, some people have a salad plate, some people have a dinner plate. Susie, I'm thinking you're carrying around a turkey platter. But if you were not doing what God had called you to do, that would be overwhelming to you.
Yeah.
So, yes, we cannot compare each other's capacity, because we're all wired differently.
That's so good, and there's just grace in that. Talking to Kathy Lipp today, title of her book, Overwhelmed, How to Quiet the Chaos and Restore Your Sanity. Just one look at her cover of this book will make you go, ah. So we've got 4 copies. I'd love to get one into your hands. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please don't forget your mailing address. When we come back, we're going to tackle some of the ways that we actually become overwhelmed. Here's one. I become overwhelmed when I can't seem to make new decisions. Are you kind of paralyzed? You just feel like you can't find a way out? Well, Kathy's got some advice for you on the other side. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
Typical and the anything but usual. We know, but there's no such thing as impossible. And nothing is
no such thing as impossible. Man, I love music, and we're a talk show, but this is why we use music so much. I think it just speaks to our hearts and motivates us. And wow. Anyway, so glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Kathy Lipp. I love this girl. She's co-authored a book with one of her very best friends, Sherry Gregory, and it's a fantastic book published by Harvest House titled Overwhelmed, How to Quiet the Chaos and Restore Your Sanity. And as Kathy is just true to her writing, is so much practical advice, and you're going to find some real answers in this book. We've got 4 copies. I'd love to have you be one who wins one. Email me to get in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And please remember that mailing address. So, Kathy, in the book you unpack 5 ways we actually become overwhelmed in the first place, because it doesn't exactly happen overnight. And this first one is, I become overwhelmed when I can't seem to make new decisions. Say more about that one.
Yeah, I think so often when we're trying to make a new decision, what happens is we are not as in tune with our own commitments, our own values. And so what starts to happen is that we take everybody's advice and we throw it into a pot and we get frustrated. And so one of the things that we really suggest with that, and it sounds a little severe, but let me just tell you, it's been one of the most freeing things I've ever done, is to create a personal manifesto. And so what this is just some truths that I believe and I want to live up to. And I put them in present tense, but it's things like, I'm on Roger's, that's my husband, I'm on Roger's team always. So when somebody says, hey, do you want to go out to dinner? And it's 2 days before Easter. Well, I'm on Roger's team always, and my husband serves at church in the tech ministry, and the week before Easter is, you know, that's one of the busiest weeks in a church. And so I have to say no, because what my personal manifesto says is I always choose Roger over any other human being. And so that means I need to serve him that week. I need to bring him dinner. It's very clarifying.
Wow, I love it.
Have your priorities written down so you can live them out every day.
Speaking of Roger, I just love the way that man loves you. I mean, he is a good hubby, isn't he?
I know I got the better end of this deal
I don't
when we got married, and so I try not to test it too much, but I'm the most blessed woman walking the face of the earth.
I love that, and I wouldn't say that, but I do. He's a great model of how to just lay down his life for his wife. He just loves you. And so speaking of him, in that same chapter, you shared about a time right in the midst of your writing life when you fantasized about quitting and doing something else. Tell us about your conversation with Roger and the impact that his advice had on you.
I get chills to think of it to this day. We were in a tough place. And, you know, the ministry, I love the ministry that I'm in. I thank God every single day that I get to do this. There are days, though, I wonder, am I doing the right thing? Is this what we're supposed to be doing? And we were working, and he works in my ministry, too. So not only does he have a day job, but he works at this, too. And we were just in a season of ministry where I felt like we weren't seeing any fruit. I didn't know if we were really, if anybody was being impacted. And that's concerning to me. I want to use God's resources wisely and judiciously. And I told Roger, you know what? I think I just want to be Mrs. Roger Lip for a while. That sounds really, really good. And he said, you know what? If that's what you need to do, if you need to take some time to pull out and, pray about what your next step is, he says, I totally support you in that. And it turns out I'm still here. I'm still doing what I was doing. But I had the support of my teammate. And I had options now, because before I was feeling like everybody's indebted to, you know, I'm indebted to everybody. I owe everybody work. I owe everybody. And he said, you know, he was very clarifying for me to say, yes, we have commitments here, but we can finish those up if you feel like God's bringing you in a new direction. And just to have options. I think so much of the time when we're stuck in our own head, we don't believe we have options. We've been told the lie. There's no out. You're stuck. And to me, that's the most overwhelming feeling in the world, feeling stuck and indebted. And so to clarify this with a believer who says, here, let's look at your options. Let's see what you're really committed to. But let's see if there are other things that we can explore. And I really believe in doing this with another Christian who can be praying for you and who can, you know, really be in tune with God's heart and say, you know, here's what I'm feeling for you, and here's what I'll continue to pray for you, and can reveal scripture to you. It's one of the best ways to get out from overwhelmed ever.
Boy, that's so good. I've got a husband much like yours, Kathy. He's just he's such a blessing to me, but he is funny because there's times when I feel overwhelmed, and what it always ends up to be is the challenges in my health, where I'm strong and strong, and then I have a setback, and then I have to face my tasks with diminished health, and then I pull up, I start to look at everything and all at the same time, and my husband sweetly will say, oh, honey, you're contemplating the universe again, aren't you? when he says it, I'm like, okay, I'll stop. One thing at a time. But I that's where my brain goes. I try to carry it all at once. And God never asks us to do that. But for the person who feels like they're completely out of options, they really aren't, are they? I mean, I feel like, I mean, not to hyper-spiritualize this, but there's always a way. But with when the God factor is present, he makes a way where there is no way. So even if it feels true, it's not necessarily true, right?
Oh, Susie, you know, I'm going to tell you this very briefly. There was a point where I felt like I was completely out of options. I had a book deadline. I had a child who was, you know, he was the prodigal and he was running fast and hard, except for when he was disrespecting me. And then I found out about my mom's very serious cancer diagnosis. Mm. And all of these things kept piling on top of each other and rebellion. And it was so, it was breaking my heart. And I kept on telling God, okay, nothing else. This is all I can handle. This is all I can handle. And then I get whooping cough on top of all of it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm just like, God, you know I'm the bottom line here. Well, God never believed I was the bottom line. I was the only one who believed that. You know what happened after a couple months, a couple of weeks of wrestling and praying with this? My son said, I will go and take care of Grandma. And so he moved in with my mom, and he took her to all of her appointments, and he cared for her, and he went and got her dinner, and he even cooked for her. Hmm. Things he would have never done for me at that time because he loved his grandma. God had a way that I could never have hoped or imagined for, but God knew what he had to take me out of that situation so that Justin could be the servant to my mom that she so desperately needed. God can always make a way, but when we believe that we're the bottom line, we're just stepping into the path of what God has already got planned.
That, I think, Kathy, is a word in due season. We have our hard break coming up in about 1 minute. But I want you to speak to that man listening, because I think it's, and I don't mean this to sound like a sexist statement, I pray it doesn't, but when you think of the weight on men's shoulders, trying to be the husband, the father, the oftentimes the primary breadwinner, not always, but you can imagine, and they're so emasculated in our culture too, so they have all that responsibility. Say a word, if you would, to that guy who legitimately feels like he's the bottom line. Any words of encouragement for him?
Yeah, I would just say, one, if that's how you're feeling, share it with your wife because she wants you to know that she has a partner in this. And two, take that care and concern to God because he will show up for you in ways to prove you wrong in that. And this is the only time I want you to be proved wrong, but I know that God does not expect you to carry this burden alone. And in fact, the burden gets heavier the more we push God away.
Boy, the burden gets heavier the more we push God away. Talking to Kathy Lipp, she co-authored with her good friend Sherry Gregory the book Overwhelmed, How to Quiet the Chaos and Restore Your Sanity. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're like, I want me that book. Well, email me, get in on the drawing, Susie with an S, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Great day today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Kathy Lipp. She's a great friend, an amazing author and speaker. She's got great things to say. She co-authored a book with one of her best friends in the world, Sherry Gregory. Together they wrote the book Overwhelmed, How to Quiet the Chaos and Restore Your Sanity. And who doesn't feel overwhelmed in this culture? So we've been talking about ways we actually become overwhelmed. We've covered the idea of becoming overwhelmed when we can't seem to make new decisions and that we feel like we're out of options. Well, another one that, Kathy, you talk about is becoming overwhelmed when you have trouble making the right decision. Maybe even it's the paralysis of analysis, but speak to that one if you would.
Yeah, I think that there's one motion going forward. You know the right thing, but it's hard to take that next step. But when when there seems like there are a couple of good options and the path isn't clear, sometimes that can be completely overwhelming. And so what we ask people to do is, are you contemplating the next step or step 472?
Hmm.
Because there's a lot of steps in between there. And so one of the things that we really encourage people to do, excuse me, is to take the next most faithful step. And this could be a tiny, tiny step, just sending the email or something like that. But what is the next step? And not to worry about steps down the road quite yet, but to be prudent with the information you have right now and take that next step. And one of the things that has really helped me is something I call micro steps. When I'm overwhelmed, Susie, are you overwhelmed by email? Did I get that from an earlier comment?
Yes, it's a ticker tape parade okay. every day. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And I bet I don't get half as much mail as you do. But there are some all email is not created equal.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. And there are some. I've got a couple of emails sitting in my inbox right now that are over 500 words.
Same.
And they've got tons of questions and multiple, and just looking at them makes my heart go pitter-patter, but not in a good way.
Exactly.
And so here's what I do with micro steps. When I'm completely overwhelmed with something, I give myself little check marks for little progress. So the first thing is I just open the email. I'm not even going to look at it. I'm just going to open it because I know that this person sends me these massive emails that are going to take days to answer. And then the next, you know, most faithful step is I am going to read the email. And I'm just going, because sometimes I'm just overwhelmed by the email sitting in my inbox. I haven't even looked at it, and I'm pre-overwhelmed. So I'm just going to take the next most faithful step. And then if it really is one of those giant emails, well, I'm just going to take 15 minutes at a time and work on it until it's done. Because the best feeling in the world when it comes to email is pressing send. I love that feeling. Let me put it out in somebody else's court for them to deal with for a while. But to get to that place where to break it down into doable chunks, and maybe 15 minutes is too much. Maybe it needs to be 5 minutes. But I love having a timer on my desk that I can just say, okay, for the next 5 minutes, I'm totally dedicated to this. I'm going to get it off my plate.
Boy, that's good. And even backing up to the idea of being afraid to making the next right decision, I love what you said. Be prudent with the information you have. Take the next faithful step. And we have to, again, bring the God factor in that Scripture talks about.
Sure.
You know, man makes his plans. The Lord determines his steps. So by taking the next faithful step, in due time, God will correct and redirect as we go if we're not trying to do it all at once, you know?
Right. And I love that verse. I love that verse because man makes his plans. We're supposed to make our plans. But God directs our steps. And so when we have a brick wall that comes up in front of us and you're like, but hey, I had this plan, that's God directing our steps. And so instead of being frustrated all the time, to take that as God's correction and his input into where we should be going, he's leading us. And he never asks us to go anywhere that he's not willing to go. He never asks us to follow somebody else's path. And he never asks us to step into somebody else's shoes. He has the path laid out for us, and we need to pay attention. And how we pay attention is by praying and listening.
Mm, boy, so good. Okay, third one. I become overwhelmed when I don't execute the decisions I've already made. And that will weigh heavy on you if you've already made decisions and they're still hanging in there over your head. What do you say?
And, Susie, I think this is so, so common, is we've made the decision, but then taking the action steps to move it forward. You know, it's the unanswered email. It's all the open loops we have in our lives. We've decided to do this renovation project, and this is real life right now for us. We're renovating some things in our house. But the decision to do it and then taking the next most faithful step, when there's a gap in between that, it causes us overwhelm. And so I think part of the reason we don't execute is because we say, okay, we're going to renovate the bathroom, and we leave it at that. That's huge and nebulous. And instead of breaking it down into doable steps that we can do throughout the week, and we're saying, okay, we're going to cram it all in on Saturday, well, that just leaves you in a space of overwhelm. So what can I do today to be kind to my future self with this decision I've already made? How can I prep myself for success? How can I gather team members together to help me execute this and who are more knowledgeable than me that can give me wise advice? So don't make the decision and leave it hanging out there. Take those tiny, tiny steps.
And just that will put energy in your soul. I think people feel that around their finances, too, going, okay, I spend too much, or I need to curb this way. When we hear stories of people who just take those very next steps, going to cut out the credit cards or whatever it is they do, it's like energy fills their soul. I have this old devotional that's written by all these dead guys from the 1800s, and I wish so bad I could remember which author wrote this, but in that little devo, he says, oftentimes we make things hard by thinking them hard. And I'm thinking, when you've made the decision but you've not executed and you stay in that land between and you just keep thinking it hard, that in due time will overwhelm you, won't it?
Oh, I mean, that's the definition right there, is saying that I've made the decision, but to execute it, we make ourselves weak in that place. Because we say, well, I can't do everything at once, so I'm not going to do anything at all. It's perfectionistic thinking. Or I'm borrowing trouble ahead. And so one of the things I have to do is, especially with something like home renovation that's not in my natural sweet spot, I have to go in with the thing, yes, it's probably harder than I think it's going to be, but I have to take the steps to find out. And I just have to be faithful in doing that. And to not get overwhelmed by, yeah, it's probably harder than I think it is, let's break it down, because sometimes it's actually easier than we think it is. And what a blessing that is when that happens. But to expect it to be hard, but not to get stuck in the hard.
Indeed. When you think about renovation or cleaning out a closet or anything that you try to dig into to make improvement or bring more order, it seems like there's always going to be a messy before it gets better. But you get on the other side and you're like, I'm so glad I did it. And yet to live on the backside of that and to say, I don't want a mess, so I'm just going to stay here. I mean, we suffer loss in that place, too. I think we have to be willing to blaze through to new territory, don't we?
Well, you know, you're spying in my house right now, because here's what's gone on. Why are we doing these renovations? Because we've ignored things for so long. I have one whole room that's unusable because, you know, it's the kids' bathroom. And, of course, you know, never cleaning up the spilt water and all that kind of stuff. We just got to a place where it became unusable. And that is such a great metaphor for every area of our lives, because if we don't take care of our health because we're overwhelmed by it, we don't take care of our finances because we're overwhelmed by it, we eventually get to the place where we can barely move, where we can barely make a dent into anything because it's so out of hand and out of control. And that's why we need to take those little tiny steps to figure out, because we don't want to become people who can't do things in the world because we've shrunk our lives down so much by not taking care of what needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, and of accommodating the fear and the chaos in our soul. Eventually it becomes such a crisis, then we have to wrap our arms around it, and other things oftentimes suffer. Okay, so another one you say, I become overwhelmed when I'm dealing with consequences of poor past decisions. Play that out for us. What does that look like on a practical level?
Yeah, so, you know, we've made decisions financially, emotionally, and we can stay stuck there, or we can really latch onto the freedom that Christ gives to us from those past mistakes. Now, there may be practical ramifications from that. You know, we have less money than we would hope we had. We have, you know, I've been through a divorce, and, you know, there were some poor decisions that were made that led to that marriage, but I cannot stay stuck there. You know, I have a new life in Christ, and so it doesn't mean I ignore the ramifications, but it says I don't stay stuck in that regret and that shame and that fear and that guilt, because that fear, guilt, and shame will immobilize me. As much as not taking care of, you know, the home renovations and things like that, we need to make sure that we are working on dying to that old self every single day, accepting the consequences and moving forward in the freedom that Christ gives us.
Boy, I think this is such a pivotal point, Kathy, for so many. When you think about the consequences of past decisions, how even you know, let's say we are dealing responsibly with some of those consequences, the enemy will use that as an opportunity to lie to us in such a way. And if we listen to that lie, it'll drive us rather than being led by the shepherd. You know what I mean? So if we're being lied to, we have to succeed. We cannot fail, and that will cause us to be overwhelmed. Or we have to earn the approval of others. We can't face rejection rather than being free to be a work in progress. You know what I'm saying? So speak to that piece of it, because even if we're bearing some of the responsibilities and consequences, if we don't shut that liar up, what drives us will surely drive us into a place of being overwhelmed.
It's so true. You know, it's very interesting. We have a financial situation that is hanging over my husband's head right now. The finances get to him much more than they do to me. And when I said, you know, I came upstairs and he was wide awake, which is unusual because I get up quite a bit earlier than him. I said, "What's going on?" And he goes, "Oh, Satan's just got, he's in my head. He's telling me all the bad ramifications because of this financial decision." And I said, "Well, let's stop and pray." So we did. And he said, "You know, the truth is we're moving forward in this." He goes, "You know, the fear really for him for so long was because we didn't know what to do with our next step. And so we felt stuck. But there is freedom in moving forward and making, like we said, the next most faithful decision. So when you're trying to ignore it, that's when Satan really can get a stronghold on us. And we're just practicing right now living in freedom from this poor past decision. And we have to confront that with Scripture.
Yeah.
We have to confront that with the knowledge of who God is. And, you know, I think about this as we're pressing forward and leaving behind every entanglement. And I think about those entanglements, that's sin, that's guilt, that's fear, that's shame, and pressing forward. As we're pushing ourselves towards the things of Christ, it becomes easier to become unentangled for those things that have left our thinking. Like you said, it jars our thinking, and it mixes us up, and it leaves us in a place of uncertainty and fear. But the more that we can combat that with Scripture, more we can combat that with truth and wisdom from other people, the more freedom we'll have from that.
Boy, that's so good. And that just speaks to the idea Scripture talks about, keeping ourselves in the grace of God, because we're grace drifters. And if Jesus paid for this thing, it's under the blood, and you are moving forward. You sure can see where fear and paralysis would keep you looking back. And I think to apprehend the grace to say, "No way, we are moving forward on this thing," is huge to becoming unoverwhelmed. Is that a word? I don't know.
We come back. We're saying it right now.
It's done. When we come back, we'll talk about if you're overwhelmed because of life circumstances that involved little to no choice of your own. Maybe you're grieving. Maybe you've experienced a major financial upheaval. And what do you do? What if you're grieving? What if your wife has told you she doesn't love you anymore and you're stuck, or your spouse has died? How do you navigate those waters of feeling overwhelmed in that case? Well, we'll talk about that when we return. Don't go away. More with Kathy Lipp in a minute.
It ain't over yet, ain't over yet. So move, keep walking. Soldier, keep moving.
Got some great news for you. God doesn't want you to be overwhelmed. His yoke for you, his assignment for you, isn't meant to grind your gears and run you into the ground. He's got a way for you to walk this life out in peace with grace that's sufficient for the task ahead of you. It's the enemy that wants you overwhelmed. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Kathy Lipp, who co-authored a book with her friend Sherry Gregory. It's titled Overwhelmed: How to Quiet the Chaos and Restore Your Sanity. And as I said earlier in the show, it's full of practical advice, really to just walk you through, identify why are you overwhelmed and what are some next steps you can take. We've been walking through some of the reasons and ways we get overwhelmed. Maybe overwhelmed when you can't seem to make new decisions, or when you have trouble making the right decision, you're afraid you're going to make the wrong one, or when you don't even execute the decisions you've made, so they're hanging over your head causing you stress. or where you're overwhelmed because you're dealing with consequence or even accusation from the enemy because of past poor decisions, and that's kept you from moving forward. All of those we've talked about. So if you just tuned in, you got to go back, catch the podcast after the live show. You'll be so deeply encouraged. Well, this one, number five here, is overwhelmed when you're coping with a life circumstance that involved little to no choice. And Kathy, I'm thinking of the person who she's finding herself in the fog of grief, maybe lost her spouse or a husband listening, whose wife just let him know, I'm out. And he hasn't even begun to grieve. He's just shell-shocked. How does a person navigate waters like that?
Yeah, so I think that that's when you really need your team. Hmm. You need people who you've invested in their lives, they've invested in yours, and you ask them to gather up and go to people who have been in this circumstance before. You know, one of the wisest things that my pastor does is he meets with people, he counsels with them, but then he takes the single mom to another single mom and says, can you shepherd her? Can you give her advice? You know, takes the grieving widow and says, hey, can you, I want you to meet with this woman who's been in your shoes before. And so I think we need to find those faithful friends who have walked this path before. And mentors are so, so important, especially in these times of extreme non, you don't have a lot of choice in what you're doing. You know, many of us are facing aging parents, and we want to honor our mother and father, and we still have kids at home, and what do we do? And so finding people who have navigated this, who love God, who have walked according to his plan and can give you a little bit of light to shed on the path is a gift. It's a gift that you couldn't even pay for.
Boy, it's so good. On the book, you also address different personalities and how they react to being overwhelmed. I'm super interested in this, the expressive, the analytic, the driver, the amiable. Would you just give us a little kind of glimpse into each of these personality types and how overwhelmed would look to them?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the expressive, and that's what my personality is. And when life is all drudgery and there's no joy, that is what most overwhelms me. When I just see task, 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 and, you know, when my day, if you told me your day has to consist of answering emails, yeah, I'm done. I'm overwhelmed. I am pre-overwhelmed, just the thought of that. And so one of the things, it's the next project I'm working on, Susie, as we're restoring our house. I'm taking 2017 because that seems like the most overwhelming project to me, to be purposeful in my joy every single day. So I am finding ways to incorporate joy into my life through prayer and meditation and community and simplicity. And I'm finding ways to activate that joy in my life so that I don't become overwhelmed by some really hard stuff. Let's talk about the analytic right now. What overwhelms him is when life doesn't go according to plan. And so especially when they are busy and they have too much going on in their schedule. So if you're an analytic, if you're somebody who is like my husband, you're engineer by nature, things need to line up in order for there to be peace, I think you have to plan for a little bit of chaos in your life. Leave some hours open so that when things don't go according to plan, you're able to deal with it and get things back on track. And to have grace for those people in your lives who are a little bit more messy. And so asking God for that grace on a daily basis. For the amiable, that person, this is the person who gets along with everybody. They are very low-key, usually very sociable and affable. But when there is relational chaos in their lives, that's what overwhelms them. And so one of the things to really do with that is to make sure that you're spending time with peace-filled people who really can't restore that joy, especially if you've got some not-so-peaceful people in your life. And then the driver. This is the person, they have the checklist, and when things get done, that's when they can finally breathe their sigh of relief. They are usually leaders and in charge. And so when – this is another thing – when things don't go according to plan, when things are not being getting checkmarked. There are just so many details to taking care of. And so I think for the driver, it's important to really break things down into small, doable chunks so that they can have a lot of wins in their day, so that they can have that checklist that says you've gotten some things accomplished and yay for you. Maybe it's not everything you wanted to do today. And one of the ways that we really encourage people to get out from overwhelmed is to not have a to-do list, but to put things on their calendar, to get realistic about how much time things take, and to not live in a world where it feels like everything should only take 15 minutes, because a lot of things just can't be put into neat little boxes. So really allotting the time that you actually need to get things done.
Oh, excellent. So not in that list of four, it was kind of got an extra paragraph on its own as the highly sensitive person.
Yes.
Thought that was super
yes.
interesting. I think I'm a driver and a highly sensitive yes. person, which seems like a lethal combination, but anyway.
You know what? But it's a powerful combination. Yeah, let's talk about the highly sensitive person. And this is what Sherry Gregory is. This is who she is and how God's created her. And so she can tend to get overwhelmed very, very easily. And what I've noticed, because I believe there is some driver in Sherry too, and Susie, if you are NTR, no test required, you are a driver, my friend. And that's a great thing to be. But here's the thing. Sherry gets easily overwhelmed, and so I always called her plate a salad plate. She goes, no, I have a dessert plate, because I only pick the best and I put it on there. And that's what people who are drivers or highly sensitive people need to do. They need to pick the very best, because they will accomplish it. They will. But what I've noticed with the highly sensitive person is they've been given big dreams by God, but they have to rely on God more heavily to accomplish what they can do because of their easy overwhelm. So
it's a great combination. Thank you for that. It's very interesting. I wouldn't say I feel overwhelmed, but I do feel I have big visions,
yeah.
right? I'm total introvert,
yeah.
so I love solitude,
yeah.
and I have a very sensitive conscience. I mean, I just do, and it but I don't, on a regular basis, feel overwhelmed. I'm pretty steady that way,
right.
So kind of interesting.
Okay.
Wow. Super
yes.
helpful. Wow.
Well, and that's where your driver sings, because you're not easily overwhelmed. But anytime when you're very sensitive in your spirit to things, I would look at that to see if that is highly sensitive. And it's a superpower.
Mm.
But it also comes with, you know, some responsibilities, and it's a great combination.
Wow, Kathy, you're such an encourager. I'd love to have you come back. I've got pages of notes we still didn't even touch. And so please come back. I'd love to have that.
I would love it.
Yeah. So as we get ready to wrap, I'm just thinking of that. I'm thinking of a guy today listening. We have as many men listening as women. And
yeah.
that he's just feeling out of options. Would you pray for that dear man?
Oh, I would love to. Father, I think about my friend who is feeling out of options, and I have men like this in my life right now. God, I pray that you would show up for them in surprising ways, that they would sense your presence in a way that they have never experienced before, and they would know your deep love for them. God, that you have not designed them to live in overwhelm, but you have designed them for peace and joy, and it is available to them as they cling to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for my friend. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Kathy, thanks for not quitting writing. I'm super glad you hung in there.
Oh, thank you, Susie. That encouragement means the world to me.
Well, it's a fantastic book. We're so glad you joined us today. Kathy's book is titled Overwhelmed, How to Quiet the Chaos and Restore Your Sanity. And I just got to admit, this is one of the best covers I've seen in a very long time. If you want to get in on the drawing, we would just love to have you email us, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please don't forget your mailing address. And if you want, if you've got a question for a future topic, include that as well, because we really take your emails very seriously. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And in a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, you hear it from me every day, and it's true. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.